Good morning, everybody. We continue with week three of a four-week series of messages we're calling Demystifying the Holy Spirit. And today you're going to hear the first week. You heard Dave Sandell and partly of his story of coming to experience the Holy Spirit here in this church in his 20s. I'm going to tell you a story that's quite a bit older. It's my story. And actually, as my story goes back way before I was born. But I've entitled today's message, "We Have Not Heard There Is a Holy Spirit." That's actually a quotation from the scriptures we'll see in a minute. Not many years ago, over here, we had a seminar in our seminar room over here. And during the seminar, the Holy Spirit would just was very present, and there were personal words of a prophetic nature that were being given to people. When they heard words, they were like exploding in their hearts and said, "Oh, that's so true. Oh, I so needed to hear that." There was weeping and rejoicing. It was just a wild experience. And there was a group of new attenders, young adults, and they had all come from the same evangelical church background. And they came up afterwards, and they were actually a little bit irritated. And so, they said, "Well, this was wonderful, but the problem is, why did we not hear any of this in all of our upbringing in the church that we were raised in?" They were basically saying, we didn't say we have not heard of the Holy Spirit. They said, "We know the Apostles' Creed. Apostles' Creed says four things, or five things. I believe in the Holy Spirit." And that's basically all they seemed to know until they came here and were introduced into some marvelous works of the Holy Spirit. Today, I wanted to, when hearing their story reminded me of one of my favorite stories from the New Testament, from the book of Acts chapter 19. So we're going to go there today because we're going to see here how the Holy Spirit introduces us to the realm of the Spirit. And it's one of my favorite New Testament stories where he introduces another group of people to the whole realm of the Holy Spirit. Paul was on his travels in Acts 19. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior provinces to get to the city of Ephesus. Here we have the beginning of chapter 19 of Acts. Now, this is a church that Paul did not plant. This is his visit to an existing church. And he met some disciples in Ephesus, and he asked them a question. And I've always found it fascinating, of all the things, when you meet a new church that's been started, to interrogate them about, what kind of questions are you going to ask them? What do you want to know about their faith and about their experience and about what they've been taught? It's very curious and interesting and important, I think, to notice what Paul's first question that is recorded here by Dr. Luke. He says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They answered him, "No, we've never even heard of the Holy Spirit." Paul immediately recognized, "Oh, we got a problem here. You really didn't get the whole package. You were talked about Jesus, but you didn't receive the full understanding of, or you would have been told about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is so essential to the life of a church, and you don't even know the name Holy Spirit. We've got to back up here a bit." That's my addition. You notice it's not in the text there. He says, "What kind of baptism did you have?" And they said, "John's baptism." And Paul said, "Well, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. John told people to believe in Jesus who was coming later. And after they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came to them, and they began to talk in other languages and to speak what God had revealed." And there are about 12 that were in this group. Here's an artistic representation of the kind of thing that was happening that day. Does this remind you of any other story in the book of Acts? Anybody want to help me out here? Any familiarity? Yes. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, where the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 that were in the upper room, and they also experienced this rushing of the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with these other languages. So this is repeated 17 chapters later with this group of believers at Ephesus who had somehow received an incomplete gospel. And so he lays hands on them. He says, you're going to need this if you're going to follow Jesus. He lays hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. And there's the same evidence that you see in Acts 2. They began to speak in other languages that they didn't know. Many of you know that the 20th century began with a new movement of the Holy Spirit. And it became especially well-known from about 1906 to 1909 in Los Angeles, in a building that was a former African Methodist Episcopal church on a very famous street now. You can still find the street there. It's called Azusa Street. And what took place there was very much like the scene we read today from Ephesus in Acts 19. And the work there on Azusa Street had a number of leaders, but the main leader was a self-taught African-American preacher named William J. Seymour, who was blind in one eye and was not what you would have necessarily expected to be the leader of a worldwide movement initiating this. This movement was non-denominational. It was multiracial. It crossed all economic strata, and it eventually spread all the way around the globe. And as I checked yesterday on Google, it now claims 500 million adherents and hundreds of thousands of churches. That's how the 20th century in the spiritual realm was launched around the world now. Interesting. My story has some roots there because my spiritual heritage traces further north, back up to the Montana frontier churches of the early part of the 20th century. My great-grandparents actually were part of the second generation of this movement of the Holy Spirit after Azusa Street. My mother was born there in Montana 89 years ago, into this type of a church experience and experience of the Holy Spirit. Now, interesting, 4 years after my mother was born, another young man was born in Montana who the same Holy Spirit movement was a part of his experience. He became more famous than my mother. His name was Eugene Peterson. Great Christian pastor, writer, author, and of the popular paraphrase that of the Bible that I use to encourage myself regularly, The Message. Anybody heard of The Message? It's only sold 20 million copies. He also came out of that same spiritual milieu of the Montana frontier churches and the second generation after Azusa Street. Now, Steve Nicholson, who's over here, both and I, we share the same spiritual, Montana spiritual roots. Our parents actually were pastors who knew each other, and Steve and I have known each other since we were teenagers. You didn't know that. Now, that's a partnership. Now, as a child, I do remember spending many evenings sitting on the floor in the living room listening to actually three generations of my family tell Holy Spirit stories of healings and miracles and dramatic conversions spoken with great enthusiasm, glee, and wonder. My paternal grandmother actually came to faith in Jesus after a green grocer asked to pray for her, and she was healed of an incurable blood disorder. These were our family stories. So, quite naturally, I regularly hear about members of my family, even to this day, continuing into their late years, praying for people in gas stations and on the street and asking for the Holy Spirit to come and heal and touch people. And he still does. They prayed for people wherever they went. And they introduced me to the ideas and the terminology of the realm of the Holy Spirit, because that is what the Holy Spirit did, we see in Acts 19. He introduced those people to the realm of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit. And so I got introduced to the language and terminology, but for some reason, my family didn't get to introduce me to the experience of the Holy Spirit yet. I knew there was a Holy Spirit. I'd heard his stories all the time. But I did not really know the Holy Spirit, and I could never have predicted how I would come to know him. And I always refer him to him. I hear some people refer to the Holy Spirit as it. You know, he is the third person of the Trinity. He is, that's why we talk about him, not a depersonalized it. But I hadn't known him as a person in the same way yet. But in the 1960s, my family moved to California. And while we were living there, word spread that this experience that was very much like Acts 2 or like Acts 19 we just read was taking a place among all places among Episcopalians. Now, my family didn't have a high view of Episcopalians because we felt that they had a high enough view of themselves because they were a high church. I mean, they were we were low class. They were high class, you know. So we did, God among the Episcopalians doing this type of thing? We had kind of been possessive about this thing and realized he's not that way. And other mainline churches as well. So it was happening. Actually, the same thing was happening at the Episcopal Church in Connecticut that Cindy Nicholson's family was attending. So you see, we're all getting together here. So when I was 14, a California Episcopalian priest was invited to speak at our church. And he told his story of being filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Afterwards, during a time of ministry, he actually laid hands on me, and I felt overcome by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And lo and behold, I began speaking and praising God in another language, even as I had do this morning, for my prayer language, which has sustained me and strengthened me for a few years now. One last postscript to the story. I was invited to teach an early morning Bible study at school in the choir room. And so I was involved in leading that, and somehow I walked one day into my Latin class, and the Latin teacher had heard something about my experience, and she totally stunned me. She said, "Bill, I understand that you've had this experience with the Holy Spirit. Would you stand up and explain it to the rest of the class?" At 14, I'm asked to be an apologist for this whole movement of the Holy Spirit and try to explain it to all my colleagues and classmates. Obviously, that sticks in my mind quite clearly, as they wanted me to describe what I thought the Holy Spirit was doing. So I've been doing that ever since, trying to explain what he's doing. And it's always just a little bit beyond what I can describe, or a lot beyond it. The New Testament is full of other references and explanations of the Holy Spirit. So if you actually read the New Testament, it's pretty hard to miss the fact of how important the Holy Spirit is. In Jesus, in John chapter 14, he talks about the Holy Spirit quite a bit, and very important aspects of the Holy Spirit. Let me look at a couple of these from John 14. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit verifies to us what is true, the very nature of truth itself. Jesus tells the disciples, "I will ask the Father. He will give you another helper and will be with you." Who will be with you? Excuse me. Forever. He's going to come. He's going to be in a helping, comforting, we'll describe that more, presence, and he will always be with you. You'll always be able to access the power of God, the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. Steve's going to talk more about accessing the power of God next week in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus concludes by saying, that helper is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth will tell you the truth, and it will resonate inside of you. This Holy Spirit is described as a helper. Other translations correctly translated as either counselor, comforter, or an advocate, like having a good Christian lawyer, you know, who's going to be on your side, who will always be with us. He not only brings us a sense of God's presence, but he also functions as an internal witness, helping us to sort between spiritual truth and falsehood. Last week, I was reminded of an event that took place a few years back, because a few years ago, Cheryl and I, along with Steve and Cindy, were down at the Vineyard Regional Pastors Retreat. It wasn't as large then. In those days, it was smaller. And actually, it was mostly men in the meeting. There were some women in attendance besides Cheryl and Cindy. And so one of the meetings they had was just for the women, to kind of support them and encourage them. And in the meeting, I was reminded this week that the Holy Spirit pointed out to Cheryl a young, new leader in the group. She was a relatively new attender. And Cheryl had this sense from the Holy Spirit that he was giving to this woman important personal prophetic truths and messages from God to share with other women in the room. And Cheryl could tell that this woman seemed hesitant, maybe lacking confidence, maybe questioning whether she really could hear from God and was hearing from God, because she was new to this whole thing. And so Cheryl felt like she needed to speak up. So she spoke up, and she said, I encourage her. I said, I think God is giving to you words for other women in the room. So feeling emboldened, this young woman finally stood up and spoke up, and she went right around the room. And as soon as she gave a word for one person, he would give her a word for the next person. And she kept going around until she went around the whole room, had a prophetic word for every woman in the room. There was weeping. They said, I wasn't there, so I was told. There was joy that ensued, and actually it took over the rest of the meeting. Well, last week, that woman came up to Cheryl, and I reminded us of the story. And she says, that event, when you came and said, God speaking to you, was a tipping point in my life. And ever since then, I've continued to minister that way. She's now not only an effective pastor of a large church, she speaks and ministers around the world on the delivering power of Jesus to free people from the works of the enemy. Incidentally, she's also happens to be one of the two women who serve now as regional leaders in Vineyard USA. All because the Holy Spirit spoke in a small room to a small group of women to release the truth that he wanted to give to people. He verifies what is true. Later in that same chapter in John, we learn another truth about the Holy Spirit. He teaches and reminds us of the message of Jesus. Jesus says in verse 26, however, the Helper, that same word, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything. That's pretty inclusive. He will remind you of everything that I have ever told you. Now that is a great assurance, that I will remind you when you need the things that you need to remember. It reminds me of what Jesus himself said in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. He speaks to the disciples and says, now when you are put on trial in the synagogues or in front of rulers and authorities, notice he doesn't say if you are put on trial. He says, when you are, don't worry. Don't worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. At that time, the Holy Spirit will teach you what you must say. Later on in the book of Acts, we see a very clear story of this, where Paul is taken before King Agrippa, and God gives him the words to say before King Agrippa. Here you see another artistic rendering of Paul before Agrippa. We've been fortunate for the last 20 years, a little bit more than 20 years now, to be helping support a couple who have been planting underground churches in Iran. He's Iranian. She's an American. She was a part of our church here. They've been working with Iranians now for the last 20 years. As inevitably happens in the Iranian church today, they were eventually, the secret police discovered them, arrested them, and took all of their church members to be arraigned. Now, they don't do it quite as much now, 20 years later, because there are so many hundreds of thousands of Christians in Iran, there are too many to put into jail, according to one of the jail authorities. But they were taken before the magistrate. And among those who were arrested, I love this story, there was a very new believer, but he'd been following along enough, and they'd instructed him in the message of Luke 12. They knew that when you are called before the authorities, it's going to happen. In Iran, it's going to happen. So you need to believe this scripture, that when you're called before the authorities, they'll tell you what to say. And so one of the eyewitnesses told me that at the arraignment, for all who had been attending that house church, you know, that this doesn't usually happen to our small groups here, the whole house group gets taken before the authorities. If you go to an Iranian house church, there's a little higher level of commitment required, I think. Got to be willing to go before the authorities and get arrested. So they were there, they were standing, they were in fear for their lives, they were standing in silence before the court. And there was just a brief pause in the proceedings. No one was speaking, but then this newest follower of Jesus stepped forward before the judge could stop him. And then he confidently and boldly proclaimed his faith in Jesus, who had broken the power of drugs over his life. And with the Holy Spirit's help and leading, he preached the gospel to all who were within hearing in the room. And he declared that he would never renounce Jesus and never go back to his old way of life. Even the youngest believer who has received the power of the Holy Spirit will be given the words to say when put in a situation, whether it's before a magistrate or before a Latin class. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, another important quality of the Holy Spirit that we should remember is that he intercedes for us. Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, says that at the same time, the Holy Spirit also helps us in our weakness. We all have weakness. We all need help. We need the Holy Spirit to be with us all the time because of our weakness. And because of our weakness, we often don't know how to pray for what we need. You ever been there? I don't know how to pray. So what? He says, well, the Spirit intercedes along with our groans that cannot be expressed in words. He is there to intercede for us and to help us pray as we should. I felt this was powerfully illustrated last month in the last days of Eugene Peterson. I mentioned him earlier. He went to be with the Lord on October 22nd last month. In the last days, he experienced the continuing presence of the Holy Spirit as his comforter and helper, according to the press reports. In fact, there's an official statement that his family released that I will quote from. It says, during the previous days, it was apparent that he was navigating the thin and sacred space between heaven and earth. And then we overheard him speaking to people that we could only presume were welcoming him into paradise. There may have even been a time or two when he spoke in tongues as well. The Spirit was with him, praying through him as he's preparing to walk into paradise. His final words, according to his family, were, "Let's go." Well, I want to go that way. I want the presence of the Spirit to be there, be welcomed by the saints, to be praying in the language of heaven, and be able to say, "I'm ready, let's go." That's promised in Romans 8. Lastly, we'll take our final aspect of the Holy Spirit that I want to mention, is also in Luke chapter 11. And this is very important for us to understand. The Holy Spirit comes when? When we ask. You know this one. Jesus said, everyone who asks will receive. Luke 11:10. The one who searches will find. And for the person who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, if your child asks you, his father, for a fish, would you give him a snake instead? Or if your child asks you for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? How ridiculous. Well, even though you're evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, now listen to this last verse. How much more will your Father in heaven, what's the next phrase? Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. What do you have to do? Ask. Ask, and you will receive. I'll finish with this. My wife was one of those who was raised in a church who seemed to speak very little about the Holy Spirit. All that she can remember is that he was mentioned in the Apostles' Creed, but he wasn't mentioned much of the rest of the time. And she started attending that non-denominational high school group that I was going to and where I was leading some Bible studies. That the group also included three of Steve's cousins, three sisters. So she was surrounded by the four of us whose roots in this go back generations, see? And this is the way it works. When you're around spiritually alive people, you start asking questions. And it wasn't long before she was very curious about the work of the Holy Spirit. She really pressing me about it, and them as well. She was peppering us with questions. And she became, clearly, my wife became a Holy Spirit seeker. It's like, my church doesn't talk about this. Tell me more. Finally, she came to the point where she asked us to pray for her to receive the Holy Spirit like we had. It was interesting because something in me, I believe it was God, said, don't do it. I mean, Paul laid his hands on the ones at Ephesus, but he told, don't lay hands on her for this. People will say that you improperly influenced her or pressured her. And concerned about how this might be perceived. And I felt the Lord said, she has to know herself that this work of the Holy Spirit is truly from God. So in the kindest way possible, I told her just to go home and pray for the Holy Spirit by herself. Sure enough, later that night, I got a phone call. She called me with the news that in the privacy of her own bedroom, the presence of the Holy Spirit came upon her. She asked, and she received. He overwhelmed her and filled her, and she began praying and praising, and suddenly she's praising God in a language she doesn't know. She's so excited, she went to the spiritual leaders of her own church. She didn't ask my advice on this one. She's so excited, she was sure they would want this as well. And some did receive, and some did experience the Holy Spirit in the same way she had. And they thought it was wonderful. But when she told her senior pastor, he says, this is not a gift from God. This is a gift from Satan. Terribly confused, right? She asked the Spirit of Truth to confirm what had really happened to her. And then she was reminded of this last phrase from Luke 11:13. Even though you're evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. So how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And the confirmation came within her heart. She had asked for the Holy Spirit. And of course then, that is what she had received. I guess you say the rest is history. We now, what a great privilege it is to be a part of the Vineyard Church where the Holy Spirit is welcomed every week. Our founder, John Wimber, on many occasions, he would end the service by simply saying, we have the authority to pray these words with full faith and expectancy. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's stand as we invite the Holy Spirit to come today.